The Sportscast, November 3rd, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can listen to it on thesportscast.net, which is our website. And you could download our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. And I got I'm a app developer, and I learned a way to do Android. So hopefully by the end of the year, I'm kind of like a couple of steps behind. But once we get you Android users on board, it'll be fun and get everything cross-platform. It's quite interesting, the whole app development world. Anyways, we've been talking a lot about soccer and football and things like that. And, of course, the NBA season started about a few weeks ago. A lot of news there. Here at the Sportscast, we do look at NBA really closely. I think it's a very important sport. It is number two sport in the country. And in other places, in Europe, for example, is number two. I actually was talking to a Spaniard about 2 weeks ago, and he was saying after, you know, football, the real football, he says basketball is second. I thought it would be, you know, some other sport like tennis. But basketball is second, so it's a very important sport that we need to cover in the Sportscast. And no other person that I could think of that could cover basketball, a man that knows from high school to all the way to retirement in the NBA, Jordan Vargas from Naperville, Illinois. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you for having me.
Jordan Vargas, I've never asked you this, but what got you into basketball? Was it your dad, your family, or you just turned on ESPN and thought, wow, what an amazing sport?
It was really my older brother. My older brother was a big Jordan fan, so he had collected a bunch of memorabilia like jerseys and all of his retro sneakers. So my first pair of shoes I ever tied were a pair of Air Jordan 12 Cherries. And I was like an infant. I was a toddler, and he was a size 11. So I had to always slip on his shoes and tie them. And they looked like Bozo shoes, but I mean, a basketball built-in hoop in our driveway. So it was just kind of a combination of things. We had a VHS tape. I used to watch old Jordan reruns. I used to watch them versus the Utah Jazz, the All-Star Game, mini documentaries that they had, ESPN had back in the 90s. Against the Seattle Supersonics. So that's how I kind of fell in love with basketball. And also with my name just being Jordan.
Yeah, that also helps. Because you were born post-Jordan. You probably you were born during
born
the Kobe years.
I was born during his last run with the Wizards. So he had a two. He was in. The year I was born was his second-to-last All-Star appearance. His last All-Star appearance was in 2003. I was born in 2002.
But then when Kobe went to the finals in like 08, 09, was that a vivid memory, or you were too young to remember those times?
No, I actually remember Kobe because I had a pair of Kobe's. I used to collect shoes. I had LeBron, I had Carmelo's. So I had a pair of Kobe's. And I actually went to Kids Foot Locker, and I bought purple and yellow arm sleeves, NBA ones, and my arms were too skinny. But I used to put them on, and I thought I was Kobe Bryant. So I do remember those days against when he used to go against the Celtics.
Yeah.
With Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Rondo, and then the Lakers had Derek Fisher, Odom, Kobe, Gasol. I think they had
Farmar. Lamar Odom. We could go way back. I mean, deep bench. I can name the whole bench. No, I can't name the whole bench. I could done it 10 years ago, but I don't think now.
Yeah.
But and it's interesting. Of all those players, the only player playing is Rondo from that group.
Yeah.
And he's playing for the Lakers.
Yeah, he doesn't stop. It looks like every year he doesn't age. He just gets in better and better shape. You know, I mean, it's like for his age, he's doing good.
Yeah, exactly.
But all his fellow teammates retired. But I think Garnett, he was playing in the early mid-90s, I believe. So Garnett played for a while. I think so did Pierce.
He was part of that bridge from Jordan to LeBron. Pierce, Kobe, and Garnett.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they saw both worlds and, you know, how much the game has changed. Well, anyways, NBA season started about a few weeks ago. Of course, NBA season doesn't serve good justice because they start during the middle of the NFL season, and no one pays attention to it. Why? I don't know. Some people pay attention till the All-Star game starts, or maybe towards the playoffs. But this NBA season was pretty contentious how it started. Of course, we're going through a post, some say it's post-COVID time era. And the NBA itself has not mandated every player to get a vaccine. It's pretty much up to like the area city. And the hardest rules is New York and California. And a big-time player chose not to get a vaccine. No personal reason why. Kyrie Irving plays for the Brooklyn Nets, point guard, a very important player, maybe one of the top NBA players in the league. And, of course, he also is part of the what's it called? The Nike PE exclusivity player exclusive, where they kind of design their own sneakers. And it's just like specific for them. But anyways, he turned down the vaccine, and of course, it made nationwide news. Of course, and then with New York and Brooklyn with the laws, I think you can't practice with the team, you can't play with the team. But Jordan, just want to get your reaction over that. Obviously, he's not the only player that did not get the vaccine. But what are your overall thoughts about Kyrie and some other NBA players not getting the vaccine and possibly not playing?
Well, it's crazy. And whether you're on both sides, this is historical. This has never happened before where you put a star player out of a job. I mean, really, let's look at it. He's not playing right now. He's out of a job. They're talking till January. You mean Kyrie Irving's not going to play till January? One of the star players on the Brooklyn Nets. Let's forget KD and Harden and everybody else at the end of the bench. Let's look at Kyrie, their main point guard. And we're going to put him out of a job until January. And this is above Sean Marks. It's above Sean Marks' pay grade, which is their GM. And their owner made a very Joseph C. Tai. He made a statement saying that Kyrie will not play until he's fully able to go. So, I mean, I think even, Joseph had some influence that Kyrie cannot play. So it's kind of ridiculous. But I mean, so it's up to the owner, it's up to the city.
But, yeah,
I think they're definitely using Kyrie as they're trying to use him as an example, and I don't know how well that's going to pan out in the long run.
Now,
Jackal, go ahead.
Yeah, which New York City has just elected a new mayor, so there might be some different rules by the time he gets inaugurated.
Who do they elect?
I know Eric Adams, which he might be a little bit less stricter than de Blasio. So if, obviously, Eric Adams will have to soften the mandates or whatever rules, because right now in New York City, you can't. I have friends that tell me that you can't go to restaurants that easy. You got to show a vaccine card. So the rules are stringent, and if it's a restaurant thing, it probably applies to as well for basketball. But Kyrie is not going poor. He's still getting paid $19 million.
No. I mean,
But I think we'll wait till January, see what happens. Now thinking about like this whole Mary thing, and then you bring it up by the All-Star game. There's a few pluses. Kyrie's a very injury-prone guy. So he may heal some wounds and some bruises. But another player that's really stood up, Jonathan Isaac from the Orlando Magic. He has said that he will not take the vaccine. He's had COVID, he said, and he says that natural immunity is the best way to go, or he doesn't need to take the vaccine. Jordan, how do you see the approach that Jonathan Isaac is doing? With the whole vaccine issue in the NBA.
Well, I think the first thing that stood out to me about Jonathan Isaac is how well and how professional he's handling it. He's not bashing people for taking it, and he's being very respectful for people who have their opinions about it. And he's answered, from the interviews I saw, he's answered every question simple, is that he just feels like that's not the best decision for him. And, you know, he's handling it respectfully. Florida's rules, I know, are not as strict on COVID. Jonathan, I don't really have a problem with. There's nothing much, you know, really people are going to do. With Kyrie, though, unfortunately, the team he's playing for, their area is very strict on it, and their owner's not playing any games about it. So it's kind of hard. But Jonathan Isaac, he's handled it very well. He's just handling it with class. And who knows, he might change his decision, but he's also sticking up for that other half that want to go with their gut decision. So it's for both sides, it doesn't matter where you're at, he's doing a good job.
Yeah, and as you know, I mean, which we spoke before, if Kyrie played in Orlando or let's say Miami or, you know, any like the Mavericks, he would have played. You know, it's not an issue in those cities, of course. The only thing, Jordan, if for example, if you're like the Heat or the Magic and if you're not vaccinated, you can't play against the Brooklyn Nets or the Knicks if you go to their court, right? So also another players that are not vaccinated is Andrew Wiggins, Golden State Warriors. I do know that Green made a statement that, hey, it's up to him. So some players have been, you know, speaking, hey, we're not against you. It's your decision. Also, unvaccinated players like Michael Porter Jr. From the Denver Nuggets and Wizards Bradley Beal are one of the top ones. But we'll see. Not you would say 80% are vaccinated. Do you think things will change by the time the postseason arrives?
Oh yeah. But at the same time, I don't know. At the beginning of my thought, I thought, yeah, but it's up to the state, or they're playing it to really loosen it or guard it.
You know, it's interesting. You know,
it's out of the player's control, you know, it's really up to the state.
Yeah. It's up to the state where that another rule is that fully vaccinated players can sit together in the locker room and during meals. So the unvaccinated can't sit with them during meals, and they can't, I believe they can't practice either, but they can play with each other in the game.
Yeah. To me, that makes no sense. I think it's people being fake, people trying to be political and they're trying to look powerful, but that doesn't do anything because you could still get COVID playing basketball. They're sharing the same basketball. Through high school days, people got sick sharing the same Wilson Evolution, playing 8 minutes a quarter. In the NBA, you can get sick playing with the same basketball, high five, you guys are sweating, you guys are bumping into each other. So it really doesn't make any sense. And if people were to get COVID, they would blame it on, well, he was close to him in the locker room. Well, no, they were sharing the same court for 48 minutes. But, you know, that's just what I say.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. Of course, the NBA, I say the season starts after All-Star game, but that's up to debate. Speaking about the NBA season, let's look at the Eastern Conference. First place is the Miami Heat, 6-1, then the Bulls, 6-1. Third, Knicks, then the Sixers. Fifth, Wizards. Sixth, Raptors. Seventh, Hornets, and eighth, Nets. I'm going to look at that top eight first. The Hawks, which I like, are at ninth. The Bulls, Jordan. Up to a good start.
Fantastic.
Are the expectations being met?
Oh, yes. For Chicago, the expectations are being met. I think first game out in preseason, or when they were at home and they played the Cavs, we saw phenomenal teamwork. Throughout the entire time, we saw how they bounced back from the Celtics. They kept their head up and they played. They were down by 19. Third quarter, they came back, beat them by 3 or 4. Right now, we're on a roll. I don't think that Miami, you know, should be ahead of Chicago. But, you know, from looking at the standings, Chicago won, went 3-1 away, and they're 3-0. Miami's 3-1 away and 3-0 at home. So I can see why at some point Miami would be on top. But Chicago's looking phenomenal.
The reason why I asked Jordan about expectations, Chicago had a great offseason signing DeRozan, Ball.
And
of course, they got Green, Vucevic, LaVine, Caruso, and Dahasunmu. This team.
Dosunmu.
Sorry about that. So, how have the additions of DeRozan and Ball been with the team so far?
Excellent. I talked about this before when Lonzo was in New Orleans. They were, Steve Van Gundy was at the point where Zion Williams was his guy. Zion Williams was projected at the time to be the next LeBron. I don't know about now. He was projected to be Rookie of the Year. He's projected to be the future. Brandon Ingram just came off of the Kia most improved player of the year. Okay. Josh Hart was a veteran, came up, did some damage, and then there was Lonzo Ball. I think Lonzo Ball was struggling to find his star likeness in New Orleans. So you bring him to Chicago and pair him with guys that have think like, share the same values, same skill, and they put Lonzo Ball in front. There was no debate of whether we're going to start or bench Lonzo, but there was none of that. In New Orleans, there was conflict about that. Here, Lonzo was being treated like a superstar. He went to UCLA. He was a star at Chino Hill. He deserves to be a limelight. He deserves to be in the big city. That's how he performs. He was in L.A., got stuck in New Orleans. Now he's in Chicago, and he's performing excellent. I mean, we're seeing things that high school Lonzo was doing, college Lonzo was doing for UCLA. He wasn't doing any of that with L.A. We saw a little bit of it, but not really. Not really much with the Pelicans, very up and down. But with Chicago, he's playing a very solid role, and he's doing his job.
He feels right at home. Do you think that DeRozan would be the number one guy in Chicago throughout this season?
No.
Who else would be?
I think LaVine, he brought the team together in the first half. LaVine was with Chicago before anybody was really with Chicago. I mean, if we really think about it, how many times LaVine probably could have opted out of the contract and picked up a good one with L.A., Golden State, you know, he stayed loyal to Chicago. And Zach LaVine is the main guy. It goes Zach, DeRozan, Ball, Caruso. And then you have Vucevic. Now, I kind of feel bad for Vucevic because Vucevic kind of fell down the rankings, but he's still there. You know, I'm not even listing them in order. I'm just saying the top guys. Top. And they're all at the same level. And that's why we're being very successful.
Coach Billy Donovan, obviously a successful coach in college, did well with OKC. What are your thoughts of him so far?
I like Billy Donovan. I like his rotating style. I like what he's done with Ayo Dosunmu, who is a freshman from University of Illinois. I like how he's playing him. I like how he's rotating the players, getting good minutes. So we'll just kind of see. You know, it's still a little early in the season. But I would like to, you know, I can talk more about that, I'd say, in about 4 or 5 weeks. But for right now, so far, he's doing a phenomenal job.
Way too early to call. But as we were joking around in the offseason, who will be better, the Heat or the Bulls? Right now, they're head-to-head, but they're only like 7 games in, so it's too early to tell. And then, of course, you got the Bucks at 10th, so might be a slow start by them. But I could definitely see them rising. They are the world champs. New York Knicks. This might be – we could see some consistent playoff appearances by them. Can you?
I would like to with Fibs and Rose and Barrett. They have Toppin. They have Knox. I just would like to see what they can do with that roster. And they've been doing a good job. You know, when Derrick Rose came to – Chicago, he had a huge ceremony set up for him, which was Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose and Fibs, which was nice because that was, of course, Chicago's. Besides the Jordan era, those were, I mean, that's Jackson, Jordan, Pippen, you know.
But, yeah, yeah. Which Jordan's very familiar with Fibs and Rose because they were at the Chicago Bulls a few years back in the early 2000s and. 10s and 11, 12, which was back then Heat and Bulls rivalry, but of course, because of Rose's injury, Indiana rose to the occasion. Let's look at the West. First place, Jazz, 6-1. The Warriors, 5-1 at second place. Jordan, I've been seeing some highlights, a lot of highlights from the Warriors. Steph Curry says, look, I don't have the like all the tools I have, but I'm doing it. Can you see this Warriors team going deep this year?
Yeah, the Warriors have been doing a much better job than they did last season, and I think everyone's kind of seeing that. Now, one team that I kind of want to touch on is the Phoenix Suns. I'm kind of sad to see them at eighth, which is surprising because Phoenix and Milwaukee were in the NBA Finals together.
So hey, man, the fact that short off season, that's what happens.
Phoenix is an eight. Front office for Milwaukee and Phoenix, I think they kind of wanted to keep the same players because they assumed, look how far we went last year, we're going to keep the same players. You know, and it's early in the season, but I'm kind of disappointed in seeing 8-10. But we'll see. We'll see. But in my opinion, I think almost every team made huge front office moves, and Milwaukee and Phoenix kind of just lay back and kick their feet up. And
yeah,
now it's kind of reflecting 10-8.
Yeah, which is a slow start for these teams, you know, short off season compared to the other teams, you know, that have, you know, a full off season.
And that's going to take a while to climb up.
Yeah, it does.
That's going to take a while to climb up.
And the thing with the NBA is that you're able, like, to have slow starts and then come back and come to up in the occasion. Of course, seeding does play a factor if you don't really catch up quick. Ben Simmons.
As long as they can get top six, then they'll be okay and they get a playoff. Then they'll be just fine.
Ben Simmons, Philadelphia 76ers, have been having a lot of issues. Ben Simmons was suspended from the Sixers from practice, having issues, you know, inside, of course. They're looking for a trade for Ben Simmons, which there's time for that to happen, but looks like it's not going to work out. Jordan, what are your thoughts over that debacle between Simmons, Sixers, and the rest?
Well, I feel bad for Ben because Ben has been wanting out before Philadelphia even made – before even – you know, now Philadelphia is suspending Simmons and, you know, calling him out. He was on his phone at practice. He wasn't involved in practice. He didn't even wear his practice jersey. He was wearing sweatpants and just kind of walking around talking to players. Ben Simmons, in his mind, suspended Philadelphia a long time ago. And now Philadelphia is suspending him. So it's really unhealthy. I think they need to trade Simmons. He deserves better, in my opinion. Philadelphia deserves the best, too. But you get a star player like Simmons, because people make fun of Simmons for a shot. But you look at his passing and his inside scoring. You know, I mean, 10 feet from the basket, it's unstoppable.
Where do you think he should go?
I was wanting him to see him in Sacramento.
That's what I've heard.
I wanted to see him in Sacramento.
Yeah, Sacramento's been a option that's been buzzing. Of course, you know, Sacramento is at, I believe, they're ninth in the West. 3-4, so that'll be a good addition with the Kings. But yeah, I think he should definitely go out. A lot of hard feelings there, and it's just hard to come back from that. It really is.
Oh, yeah, it is. And how, you know how awkward that's going to be? You know, if you come back, it's not going to be good. I tell you that much.
Yeah, exactly. He needs a new start, of course.
And I hope.
Yeah, go ahead.
Huh? Oh, what were you saying?
Well, one of the issues or the skill level issues is that he can't really shoot is that he drives, you know, to the hole a lot. But in the NBA, shooting is a big factor, of course.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and I mean, the kind of hard part about this is Ben Simmons is kind of reflect, you know, his actions, actions speak louder than words. So him acting like this right now is putting a bad taste in NBA teams, but things always happen behind the scenes. So, you know, who knows, he might be already in talks with, you know, a trade happening. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Let's go.
Hopefully, I can get him out of Philadelphia.
Yeah. We'll see. Philadelphia definitely was a contender last year, but Atlanta boot him out, which was one of the factors that that exposed Ben Simmons. LaMelo in Charlotte. Of course, Jordan really follows LaMelo a lot. Doing good things, getting highlights on ESPN at least. What's happening in Charlotte, and is LaMelo gelling well at the Hornet Center?
LaMelo's doing a good job. I think LaMelo's doing the best he can. The Hornets are sitting at 7. Not the best spot, but again, they moved the top 6 for a new playoff contention, so they just need to move, one more up. But LaMelo and the entire team have been gelling really well. Miles Bridges has been putting on nice performance. PJ Washington, of course, LaMelo Ball. I would like to see more out of Book Knight, but we'll see where it goes. But the bigger news is LiAngelo Ball, their brother, he got signed to their G League team, Greensboro Swarm. So that was good news. So we'll see. Maybe Jello's going to get a call up, and LaMelo and LiAngelo Ball are going to play together. But LaMelo, he's been pulling up for his sophomore year. I mean, with the preseason, he scored 31. He was putting on the show. So I would like to see LaMelo. LaMelo's a fantastic player. He's a shooter. He's a passer. Unbelievable court vision. And he's nationally a leader. So we'll see how he kind of goes his second year in the NBA.
The Ball brothers making a stance in the pro leagues. A story that came out last week, but it's never too late to talk about, is a 17-year-old high school player signing with Puma worth millions of dollars. Mikey Williams. Jordan, when I told Jordan about it, Jordan knew about this already. Tell us about this kid, Mikey Williams. And we're talking about this, kind of reminds us of someone else 20 years ago, but tell us why is this player getting signed by Puma and getting paid a lot of money?
Well, it's because Mikey Williams is a high school star. He's a 5-star recruit. He stands at number 1 in his class. He's 6'2.5", I believe. Maybe with his Pumas on, 6'3". He's a strong guy. He's been a prodigy and a heavy high school basketball presence ever since he played AAU for Compton Magic. He switched schools a few times. He played in San Diego for Cerrito High School. Went down to North Carolina. North Carolina went down to Atlanta. So right now, Mikey's played in his high school years. He's kind of transferred a lot, but he's a prodigy. I mean, statistically, he's going to go to the NBA. I mean, that's just how it goes. And with the new rules and NCAA players, signing in high school, I don't think Mikey Williams is going to go the college route. He's already technically a pro. He's getting paid to wear Pumas. He signed a multi-million-dollar deal to wear Pumas.
Interesting. Do you think he'll go to the G League or maybe go overseas?
I think he's going to go to the NBA G League because he's going to play with the G League Ignite. We saw products of the G League Ignite. We saw Jalen Green. Jalen Green has been absolutely destroying the NBA right now. With his freak athleticism. Mikey Williams, I see him a nice spot in the G League.
How long do you think he has to play there before he can go up to the NBA?
With his size, he's not a very tall dude. He's only 6'3". NBA 6'3" is not the tallest. But for his position, as hard and as fast as he can play, he kind of reminds me of a Russell Westbrook. I kind of botched my words. I was talking a little bit too fast there, but
it's okay.
I see him, doing some damage. Again, I don't know if he's going to play just be a one and done in the G League. I think he might go two years in the G League and then go in the NBA. But I would like to see him in the G League. And I'm calling. He's gonna go pro. He's not going to wait around and go to college. Because really, there's been no announcement of where he's going to go for college.
And it would have happened by now, you think?
Yeah. It would have happened. Yeah. And the fact that he's signing a multi-million-dollar Puma. I mean, when LeBron did that, when LeBron signed with Nike, we didn't see him go to Ohio State and then be wearing Nike.
Correct.
We're kind of seeing that pattern. Mikey Williams signs with Puma. Okay, he's not going to go to college because no college has Puma. So, I mean, and they're not going to let Mikey wear Puma. But they're a Nike school. He goes to Duke. Duke is a Nike school. They have, a multi-million-dollar contract signed until 2023. So, they're not going to – or 2027. So, they're not going to let him wear Pumas just because he signed. And Puma's not going to let him wear Nike. So,
would this be – Will this be the biggest player that ever they entered the G League?
I think if LaMelo entered the G League, which was in talks, and said he went to Australia, but I think if LaMelo entered the G League, that he would have been the biggest player. But if Mikey Williams entered the G League, he would be the biggest player.
That would be making a lot of headlines, because now, if that happens, Jordan, we could see more players in the future down the road will skip college and go to the G League.
We're already seeing more and more players skip college.
It's unbelievable. So college has, I can't say cheap, it's not the right word, but college has, I guess, degraded a bit. But maybe not. Yeah. I mean, obviously, March Madness will still happen no matter what. And, yes, there'll be some good players going into the college, going to college basketball. You know, sometimes these players need that college to, you know, get developed more, you know. But some players, like back in 1996 or 2003, Kobe went from high school to pro. He was ready. LeBron going to pro. So this is nothing new.
Yeah.
But obviously, yeah, there's no straight jump to the NBA. You still have to go through a G League.
Yeah. Or you go overseas.
Overseas. You go to NBA. But I don't see too many people coming back from overseas much.
Yeah, I mean, not really. I mean, the last person that – the only big person that really came from overseas was Josh Giddey. I don't even know his name. Josh,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You kind of get lost in translation a bit. But anyways, Mikey Williams signing with Puma. Puma's not known as a basketball brand. You can say they're more – you know, they're known for track and field or cross country. And some soccer stuff, I see it. But in basketball, I have not. So Puma's making a big headway into basketball.
I actually have a pair of Pumas that I play basketball in. They're called the Puma Court Riders.
How do they feel? They're comfortable?
I saw LaMelo wearing them, and I was like, those actually look pretty cool. And I wasn't into Puma until LaMelo got signed. And then when I saw LaMelo wearing them, I was like, you know what? They're not that bad of a shoe.
As long as you feel comfortable in them.
Oh, yeah, they're comfortable.
You know? Well, anyways, another techie sports news. Nike is going to come out with digital sneakers, which is NFTs. How do you feel about that?
I didn't hear about that until now. So, I mean,
you know what NFT is? Non-fungible token. So it's like a product or an art that's backed by code, but it's not tangible. You can't, you know, you just can't. I mean, it's pretty much you look at a computer screen. So Nike's going to do that with their sneakers. Now, they might come out with Air Jordan 1's digital sneaker, and that could be worth, like, millions of dollars.
I don't see the worth in that. I mean,
you're telling me.
You want to look at a pair of shoes. It's like, if you want to look at a pair of shoes, Google the same shoe on and click images.
Good point.
And that's your free. That's your free NFT. I mean, what can this thing do? Go in circles, you know, up and down? That's okay.
I think you gotta look at it as like a art piece. It's like owning like the Mona Lisa.
And yeah, I mean, I guess that is.
You don't have like the copy.
Art, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
But hey. There's a market for it. There's a conference right now in New York City, NFT conference, I think it's called. So that is the Nike.
What do you think about NFT? Because I know you're big into tech. So
I'm not an art person. I'm more into I'm not into the NFTs as much. I'm more into like the cryptos. So I like to invest in Bitcoin, Litecoin, and like Ripple and all these little different coins, and you can make some money. What was that?
Would you invest in Bitcoin?
Oh, I have. I have invested in Bitcoin, and I've made money. I've made money through crypto. But when it comes to NFTs, it feels like a solo thing. Like only one person owns that one piece, and they could sell it for millions of dollars. There's not multiple copies, apparently. So that's why I'm not a fan of NFTs because it feels very selective.
Yeah. And I don't even know how you buy an NFT. Do they just put it for auction and then you get it and then you put whoever gets that puts that up?
You hit it. It's an auction pretty much, yeah. Whoever has like the highest bid keeps it, and then that person could, you know, resell it down the road when the value increases, which I have no idea. It depends on like the NFT art, you know. But the Nike sneakers, Jordan, now thinking about it and talking about it with you, that could be big. That could be going up there in the millions for sure. And especially if they do an NFT on like Air Jordans. So, but anyways, that is my techie, my nerd piece. And of course, talked about Mikey Williams, Puma. Congratulations to Mikey Williams. Definitely basketball is definitely evolving. But, you know, this is nothing new. This happened back in the 90s, high school jumping into pro. Of course, the NBA changed that rule.
This happened in 2017. LaMelo Ball had a signature shoe when he was 16.
Exactly. So this is nothing new. Jordan was late in the game. Jordan got his first sneaker deal until he went pro. So
yeah.
And then, of course, there's some significant. Kobe had two shoe deals, one with Adidas and then one with Nike afterwards.
Yeah.
So, and these shoe deals, man, they're coming very exclusive, but Jordan started that trend, I believe, and has gone way up and high. Anyway, Jordan, anything else in your side before we close, before we head into predictions?
Nope.
All right, let's go into predictions. Knicks at the Pacers. Who you got?
Knicks.
Denver at Memphis.
Who would you say?
Denver and Memphis. I'm going to go with the Nuggets. I like Jokic.
Okay, yeah, I'll go with the Grizzlies. I like
Rand. Okay. Texas Mayhem Mavericks at San Antonio.
I'll go with the Spurs.
The Spurs. And then
what about you?
I like Dallas, dude. Dallas has a stronger team. I think they can do it. And then your Chicago Bulls. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I just like the Spurs. I don't know. I just like the Spurs. But after, you know what? No, I'll stay with the Spurs. I'm going to call them upset.
How about this?
The Spurs are down right now, but.
I got you. And then your Chicago Bulls at the Philadelphia 76ers.
Come on. Chicago Bulls.
Okay.
The Bears.
Random poll question of the day. What is your favorite type of sandwich? Options are chicken sandwich, egg sandwich, grilled cheese sandwich, or ham sandwich.
Ham sandwich.
They're at 12%, but egg sandwich is winning at first place with 44%. Then chicken and grilled cheese is tied at 22.
Oh, egg salad sandwich?
It's pretty good, I think. They're all pretty good.
That's foul. No, actually, my mom makes a pretty good one. I don't have it too often, but I do. You know, it's good, but that's not my go-to sandwich.
Do you, does your mom add pickles into the egg sandwich?
Yeah, like sliced ones.
How do you like your grilled cheese?
I like it with American cheese on Wonder Bread. Fry the Wonder Bread, put some nice butter on it. And then, people like with tomato soup. I've personally never had it with tomato soup. I mean, I've had tomato soup, but separately from grilled cheese. I just kind of like it like that. Very basic.
I like it with tomato soup, especially in a cold winter in Chicago. But besides that, grilled cheese is pretty good, and it's making me hungry. Anyways, you can vote on our Twitter account, TheSportsCast1, your favorite type of sandwich. And Jordan Vargas, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about your Pumas?
The best way to reach me online is my website, www.courtsidewj.com, and you enter a contact form, and I'll be happy to talk with you, or my Twitter, TheRealJDB23.
Jordan, everyone's asking me, how are you doing in college so far?
I'm doing well, and I like college a lot. I'm happy about the experience, and so, yeah, I'm just really enjoying it. I think I'm doing very well.
And does your college have a basketball team?
Yes, we do. We have a basketball team, but our football team's even better, though.
Oh, okay.
We have a really good football team.
Yeah, that's the thing with college. Like, you're either a football team or a basketball. Now, there's some schools that are hybrids that do well both, like, you know, like Ohio State and Oregon. But there's some schools that are, you know, they sway more football or they sway more basketball, like Kansas State, the Jayhawks. They're mm-hmm. very known for their basketball program. So, anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net, our website, or thesportscast1 on Twitter. Cash tomorrow, Victor Rocha and Byron Jones, the Jersey Boys Sports Talk. They're going to crack down what happened to the Giants. They almost beat the Chiefs, but Chiefs pulled it out with 3 points, which spells red flags for the Chiefs, even though they won. And, of course, last night, by the way, I have to say this, congratulations to the Braves winning the World Series. Winning 6 games, first time since 1996. Great squad. And who knows, they might win it again in the future. But anyways, Jordan Vargas, any closing words before we head off and perhaps eat some grilled cheese sandwiches?
No. Thank you, Santiago. And I want everybody to take a second to thank Santiago for his hard efforts at SportsCast and constantly going at it and making sure he's producing content for you guys. So make sure you guys, whoever's listening, goes and thanks Santiago.
Appreciate it, Jordan. You're the man, and I'll see you next time.
All right.